You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Age of Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Steve. I just want to let you know that for all the latest on our podcast, hit us up at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also on Patreon if you want to check that out. But our homepage is with the Age of Radio Network at ageofradio.org/Everything I Learned from Movies. And if you're looking for some amazing art, check out my wife's Etsy page at untidyvenus.etsy.com. All kinds of great stuff there. Also, follow us at PodCartFest, that's PodCartFest, for our periodic art and podcasting festival that we're going to be hosting. It's actually pretty cool. Check it out. So yeah, on that note, let's get to the show.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. Where the one last plot hole's a gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
Celebrating 25 years of the timeless fantasy classic, The Last Unicorn.
Unicorns? I thought they only existed in fairy tales.
I tell you, there is one unicorn left in the world.
I am the only unicorn there is.
She was the last of her kind. Now she is on a quest to find others like herself. Experience the magic of the most enchanted adventure of a lifetime. Featuring the voice talents of Jeff Bridges, Mia Farrow, Angela Lansbury, and songs performed by America. Now in a 25th anniversary widescreen special edition DVD. With newly remastered picture and sound, it's a treasured fantasy classic of incomparable charm.
What if there isn't a happy ending at all?
There are no happy endings, because nothing ends.
Based on the book by Hugo Award winner Peter S. Beagle, The Last Unicorn. 25th Anniversary Special Edition DVD. Coming to DVD February 6th, 2007.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is
Everything I Learned from Movies.
And tonight!
Oh, tonight.
We are starting off December, the last month.
Yeah!
With 1982's The Last Unicorn.
I'm alive. I'm alive. And I'm a goddamn songbird.
That's right. Oh, babe.
Steve.
We're not alone for this one.
What?
I know.
I overwhatted. Okay.
And if you look slightly to your right, you'll see who our guest is.
Oh, it's Katie of Katie Crumpton Arts.
Hey.
Hi.
In the flesh! For those who don't know, Katie is visiting us here in the Fortress of Solitude, deep in the heart of Cold Mountain, Utah. I don't know. Wherever we live. Some sort of isolated fortress, apparently.
Well, we told them about Snowflake Road or whatever. That we're near Snowflake.
Oh, the intersection of Snowflake and Snowflake or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. Katie, have you enjoyed your trip here? Would you recommend it?
I've loved it. It's absolutely beautiful here, and we've had so much fun.
What'd you guys do? Since I was working most of the time, I'll throw that out there.
We did a lot of crafting, and we went to a brewery.
We did, and we froze our butts off on the frozen patio because we had the puppy. Mr. Sushi got really cold, and then the bartender let us borrow one of the sweatshirts somebody left behind. So if you left your sweatshirt at Hopkins Brewery in Salt Lake City and it has pet hair on it, I have no idea what happened.
But you made a dog very happy and warm.
Yes! That's
right. I was thinking you guys went to, like, the hot springs.
That's right. Oh, yes.
The dinosaur park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've eaten a ton of food. We did Historic 25th Street. Katie helped us do advertising for the local artisan collective.
Yeah. By the way, guys, that's a place to go for all of your unique gift ideas this holiday season. Check Woo! It out. That's thelocalartisancollective.com. I don't know.
There's two of them on Facebook. Yes, it's localartisancollective.com. There's two local artisan collectives on Facebook. We're the one that's not in England.
That's right. By local, I guess. So 1982's The Last Unicorn. Katie, was this your first time watching this?
It was.
Izzy, how about you?
No, I had this on VHS when I was a kid. I watched the hell out of the VHS, scratched the hell out of the VHS, and when I got the DVD, I was shocked the unicorn didn't glow. Because you know how things got all fuzzy when you watched a VHS too many times?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, I was watching with a friend of mine who loves it just as much, and we were both like, hold the phones! What's happening?
Shouldn't she be, like, emitting this aura around
her? Yeah.
Well, babe, speaking of Jeff Bridges movies where this was the case, remember me telling you about having the VHS of Starman growing up?
Yeah, and, like, you had no idea what the first 10 minutes were.
Yeah, just like, it's dark, there's some kind of cool John Carpenter thing and whooshing sounds, and then
a little glowy dot.
And then some horrible Jeff Bridges baby starts running in front of a fireplace, and I'm like, what the fuck?
What if the thing was a romance?
You're right. What if the guy who brought you the thing and Halloween was like, yeah, I can do a romantic comedy. What is love?
Right. Oh my gosh, you guys, if you want to see Jeff Bridges go full radio. I'll explain that joke later, Katie. Okay. Steve?
Yes.
We're too sober for this.
Oh, I agree. And since you asked, one of my babysitters as a kid had this growing up. But I only remember, like, the last 10 minutes because I feel like that was just the part everybody watched. Oh, I know what it was. The first half was The Last Unicorn. Second half was The Karate Kid.
Ah.
And so whoever wanted to watch The Last Unicorn, we'd just convince them, oh, you just want to watch, like, the last 10 minutes, right? That's the best part.
Watch Karate Kid.
And then watch Karate Kid from the beginning. Yeah. Yeah, that's my experience, really, with The Last Unicorn. The one song is catchy as fuck.
No, there's, like, 2.5 songs that are catchy as fuck.
We'll talk about it.
But I will be the first to admit, this movie, the music starts out strong.
Oh, super strong.
And degrades very quickly. There is a slope.
There's definitely a Venn diagram of quality of song and amount of America singing the lyrics that kind of coincides.
Yes. Yes. Oh, by the way, the band that does the music for this is America.
Fuck yeah! I'm coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah!
Steve, who's America, Steve?
All I know is they were riding through the desert on a horse with no name.
Felt good to get out of the rain.
And I assume they have other songs that I probably just don't. I'm like, oh yeah, I thought that was Supertramp or something.
It's gonna be like Toto. We were like, no, they did. They did all of these.
They did Dune.
Yeah. All of Dune.
But babe, you are right. We are entirely too sober to talk about this movie properly.
Excellent. We have Katie bought us this, and she hasn't even tried it yet. What? From Mother Earth Brewing Company, Cali Creamin'. Vanilla Cream Ale. Tasting notes of vanilla bean. Cool and crisp, smooth finish. Ale with natural flavors added. 5.0% alcohol by volume.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to pop my top. Top.
Nice. Foamy.
Frothy. And the pour. This is a beautiful golden colored ale, extremely foamy off-white head, tiny bubbles dissipating slowly,
tiny bubbles
as appropriate for a cream ale. You can smell a little bit. It's lightly vanilla. Like, it's not like you're drinking vanilla ice cream. Definitely, but you get a little of that vanilla aroma on the nose. And you get a little bit of that carbonic bite on the nose, too. Like, it's well-balanced. You guys have taken your sips. What does it taste like?
I think I found a new favorite beer.
Right?
It's really good. I love vanilla, and yeah.
Yeah.
So they have an orange one too, and it's orange vanilla,
like an orange sickle kind of like.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
And yes, you can find this in the Bay Area.
Yes.
This is quite malt forward, only a little bit of hop bite, mostly in the aftertaste, really, along with the vanilla kind of
accentuates. Just like balance
everything.
It out, and has a really clean, crisp finish.
Yeah, it's a good all day drinking beer, really. If you're just chilling, doing whatever, and you enjoy a little vanilla in your day.
This is one of just like, yeah, my favorite just have around the house. I want a beer, but I don't want to like go too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love Cali Creamin'.
Indeed. Ugh. Oh, by the way, guys, guess what? I'm back in judging actual homebrew competitions and stuff again. That was our thing we did this past week. Well, I did this past weekend while these ladies were freezing out sushi at a bar.
guys, the dog patio is outdoors, and it was... It was 29 degrees that day, and we were in the shade, which means it was conservatively 15 degrees.
Yeah, it was pretty chilly. But I was at Mountain West Cider judging Homebrewtaw.
Woo!
Yeah, one of, I guess there's three major Utah homebrew competitions. They got my information, though, now. And
yeah, and the next one, I get to judge, and you get to puppy sit.
Yeah!
You get to freeze your ass on the patio.
Well, yeah, since it'll be in May, I'll do that.
Guys, though, Hopkins was worth it. I got a dunkel. Yeah. It was spectacular and everything I want a dunkel. Also, something about it being like 15 degrees out. That last sip, instead of being warm and flat, is colder than the beer temperature than the beer was served at.
That's right.
Also, we happened to hit it at brunch. Katie got a tradish brunch, and it was awesome. I got poutine with sausage. Katie, what did you drink?
I drank a mimosa.
You drink a half a bottle of wine with a splash of orange juice.
Yeah, pretty much.
By the way, they bring you a little glass of wine or a little glass of orange juice and a can of house wine, which actually was very tasty.
Yeah.
We may have to have some house wine around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I want you guys to know that Katie is a professional and mixes her mimosas so that you can read through them. It was transparent.
As God intended.
Exactly, as God intended.
Excellent. Well, so 1982's The Last Unicorn.
Last Unicorn.
From directors Jules Bass and Arthur Rankin Jr.
Who are they, Steve?
Oh, have you not heard of Bass Rankin?
Who's Bass Rankin, Steve?
Well, they've directed 44 things, including... apparently 130 episodes of The New Adventures of Pinocchio in the 60s.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't know that was the thing.
I've never even heard of that.
Me neither.
But they're also the ones that bring you, like, The Little Drummer Boy, The Little Claymation Christmas kind of thing.
Oh, I love that.
Frosty the Snowman.
Oh!
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Mm-hmm.
17 episodes of The Jackson 5.
Oh, snap.
A 1973 version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1977, they brought us The Hobbit animated.
Yeah!
Jack Frost in 1979, and then Return of the King in 1980. What?
Yeah!
This was their follow-up to Return of the King.
Oh, snap.
Then they did a Coneheads TV movie. Yeah, I don't know. In 1983, I'm assuming it's Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin, same as whatever.
Okay.
And The Wind in the Willows in 1987.
Oh my god, I love that one. I haven't thought about that in years. I have Mr. Frog.
Oh yeah.
That's the little frog plushie.
Oh yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
You may also know them as producing basically all those, plus a couple television series in the 80s like Silverhawks, Tiger Sharks, and Thundercats.
Mm.
You know, you always see the Rankin Bass thing at the end.
Yeah.
But the author of the book and writer of the screenplay for this movie is a Peter S. Beagle. Anyone ever heard of him?
I've met him!
What?
Really?
Yes! He's amazing. Guys, Peter S. Beagle. So he wrote The Last Unicorn, and the movie The Last Unicorn, if you are a fan, is almost word for word the book minus one chapter, which it's fine. They passed that chapter up. Of all the chapters in the book to miss, that's fine. But it's like literally the script is like word for word the book.
Are you going to let us know where that chapter goes into the story? Or
oh, so right before they reach King Hagrid, after they pick up Molly Grew, so the outlaws are outlaws of a town that's like, it's like, because King Hagrid's kingdom is all like barren and dry.
Yeah.
It's just like a little village of like people who are basically starving to death. And all of King Hagrid's like old guard who are like, fuck you, I'm leaving the castle. And basically just everyone's like starving to death. And they're like, oh, you don't go down that road.
They got Fred Gwynn coming in. Oh, don't go down that road.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's just basically, it's a short chapter that's just like, these people are super depressed and they're starving to death. And the unicorn's like, man, you guys should move somewhere else. Bye.
Because
unicorns don't feel like sorrow or regret. So like she can sort of feel bad for things, but she doesn't.
Shit. You know who the last unicorn is in that situation?
Huh?
The nanny or whatever from Pet Sematary, the
oh my gosh.
I never found myself a man. Oh well.
No, she's Molly Grew.
Yeah.
100% she's Molly Grew.
And then hangs herself in her employer's basement. The ultimate payback.
Spoiler alert for the middle of Pet Sematary.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
All right.
That doesn't matter.
Guys, we've talked about Pet Sematary, but I have to ask Katie. How bad would your life have to be for you to hang yourself in your boss's basement?
God, very bad apparently.
Katie, we're gonna hire you to like vacuum the floors twice a week. Jesus Christ!
Well, on top of that super uplifting story, intended for children, he also wrote The Dove, 1974. The Greatest Thing That Almost Happened, 1977. Mm-hmm. Is about the people that passed on Star Wars, I'm assuming. Lord of the Rings, 78. This, the Sarek episode of Star Trek Next Generation, ooh! The one with Spock's dad or
yeah!
whatever. 31 episodes of The Little Mermaid TV series. And Camelot, 1998.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And then a bunch of shorts and stuff, but I never heard of any of them. Oh, the cast. The voice talents brought to you in this movie.
This cast is stacked.
The dude himself, Jeff Bridges, has Prince Lear.
Yeah.
Fun fact about him that is really confusing listening to him in this movie, because he's not giving an Academy Award winning performance.
Here's the thing. Voice acting is a lot harder than people give the credit for. I don't think he knew what he was doing in this.
He didn't know what he was reading. Well, okay. I'll say it right now. Apparently in 2010, the director Jules Bass revealed that Jeff Bridges called him out of the blue, volunteering to do this movie for free, and recommended his friend Jimmy Webb for the soundtrack.
Oh.
So he like wanted to do it, but he doesn't seem to even know what the hell he's saying half the time. Well, I mean, we'll get to it. He's not the only one, but like sometimes he's just like,
look, babe, maybe maybe he was just thrown off by his musical number.
Yeah. He was too busy trying to hone in that skill, I guess. Well, you know, Tron was around the same time. Maybe he was torn between the two projects, exhausted.
Yeah, he's looking at the musical thing and is like, so I'm going to be a triple threat.
Yeah. This is a big time, baby. Everyone's going to remember me in this. Also, Mia Farrow as the unicorn.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury, R.I.P., as Mummy Fortuna.
Yeah, so yeah, the evil witch, mm-hmm. Angela Lansbury, Mrs. Potts.
Yeah.
Murder, She Wrote, you might say.
Murder, She Wrote.
Mm-hmm. Bedknobs and Broomsticks? I'm sure there was something else she was in.
I mean, Murder, She Wrote was on for like 30 years, it feels like, so.
It feels that way, but it was like, what, eight seasons?
It was like eight seasons, yeah. It was like as long as Rockford Files.
Yeah. Alan Arkin as Schmendrick.
Yeah!
Alan Arkin, he's a MASH, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Alan Alda? Or is it both?
I think it's both.
Christopher Lee as King Hagrid.
Yes! So on that, I just want you guys all to know. So I watched this movie a million times when I was a kid. And then to my dad's chagrin, he put on like a Hammer movie with Christopher Lee. I don't remember which one, but I remember just being really little and like my dad like, oh yeah, this is an important movie, because that would be an important movie for Todd.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts to speak, and me and my sister were both like, King Hagrid! It's King Hagrid! It's King Hagrid! And he's just like, no, No, this is Dracula. Like,
no, it's Dr. Fu Manchu.
Right? Like,
don't be ignorant.
That can't be what you know him from. Like, nope, sorry, Dad.
Sorry. Sorry, it's before 1999? When did the Lord of the Rings come out? Was it 99 or 2001? I'm sure it was like 2001, 2002, 2003, right? When the three of them came out?
I don't know. I don't remember.
That was so long ago. Guys, it was over 20 fucking years ago. Give me a break.
Shut up. That's when I was in high school. I'd say it came out when I was in high school.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rene Auberjonois.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, no. No. But he plays the skull in this movie.
Yeah.
which I just realizing now, that's who he was in this movie.
Doing his best Paul Lind.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways, Robert Klein as the butterfly.
Who's he, Steve?
Fucking fine. No, I know he was like in the 80s. He was like on TV and stuff. Like,
I feel like he was in something we've done.
Murphy, Murphy Brown or something?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Also, we'll get to it, but this movie convinced me as a very young kid, all butterflies are crazy and high.
Yeah.
And I think it holds up.
And then we have, of course, the band America as the Bandoliers, or Chorus.
Woo!
Oh, babe, how do we watch this movie?
We did not watch my 25th anniversary DVD, which I just found out that there's now a... 40th anniversary of this movie's came out, so that DVD is a collector's item.
Yeah.
We watched it on Peacock?
We watched it on Peacock. But okay. It's also available on Tubi and Freevee, so you have no excuse for not watching this movie.
No excuses!
That's right. We start off with a bunch of crickets in a forest at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's dawn, because the sun is out, but it's like dark in the forest. I don't know. It's art.
Yeah, no, but you'll notice the transition, the forest gets lighter and warmer.
Yeah,
and
as you get out of the forest.
No, as you get deeper into the forest and you enter the unicorn's territory.
Okay.
The forest without the unicorn is dark and scary and sunlight cannot penetrate it. And there's no creatures running around and nothing's in bloom.
Okay, okay.
And then it's warm and alive.
It opens up into a field, basically, with the unicorn and
it's
all the
It's a meadow, Steve. They frolic in meadows.
Dog, what the hell do you want?
He wants to go out because we're broadcasting.
Of course.
Come on, doggo.
I just want your attention.
You asked to go out. Let's go. She'll give me all the attention while you guys are doing the thing
Sushi
that I have nothing to do with.
Sushi likes Katie.
He's going to be so disappointed when she goes home.
I know.
Back to just being abused.
That's right. Hey, get off our co-host. Hey, sit down, buddy. Sit down, buddy. Off.
Thank you.
There we go.
Lie down.
Sit.
Good boy. Good sit. Yeah. Good boy. Good shit.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because we do get the archers coming in on horseback.
With their little hound!
Yeah, and I just have written down as, alright, that one kind of looks like Sean Connery with a big beard, and the other one, fuck, dude, get away from the mic. Whatever. And the other one looks like Robin Hood, which I didn't realize would play later into the movie. Where were you last year, Robin Hood month? Anyway.
Or, also, they sort of look like the new, or in the live-action Lord of the Rings, like the professor from Sliders.
Oh, the dwarf.
John Rhys-Davies.
Yeah, John Rhys-Davies and Legolas.
Yes.
I guess, yeah. But yeah, like, Sean Connery's like, oh, we should get out of here. It's always spring here because these damn unicorns walking around. And
all the creatures who live here learn a little magic of their own, mostly concerned with disappearing.
Yep. Another was like, good luck, unicorn, because you're the last. Deuces!
Right, don't leave here because there is nothing left in the world.
Yep. And then we have... I don't know, the unicorn kind of like hearing that, like starting going to like an existential crisis or whatever.
Right.
But thank God, before we really dive into that, when the last eagle flies
over the last crumbling mountain.
That's right, we get the last unicorn song from America.
And it's a banger.
By far the best one in this movie, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
By far. Yeah, so then we go back to Unicorn contemplating suicide. No, basically just like...
She's not contemplating suicide. No, she's just like...
The last don't... one. I can't possibly be the last one.
Oh, men are unreliable anyway. I shouldn't think too much about this. Oh, look, here comes a high butterfly.
Oh, I love how she like casually drops too, like, I'll be fine as long as I stay in the forest. I'm immortal here. And I'm like, Oh, cool. End of story. Roll credits. Guys, what do we think of the last unicorn?
Guys, Steve would make an excellent unicorn. He'd be like, wait, I just have to stay home and eat snacks? Yeah. And I don't have a job?
I just got Uber Eats this bitch? Okay. Nobody delivers to your forest. No!
You're supposed to eat the tender grasses, Steve. You're a unicorn. Okay. Although I'm pretty sure unicorns are also carnivorous. So.
They gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the horn of a predator.
Yeah. Right? That's a horn of something that skewers its food.
Exactly.
Yes. But yeah, the high butterfly comes showing up, just singing and spitting fucking nonsense as Steve has written down. And
as Steve says, you don't have to pay for the songs if you only use one line.
That's right. What? Who are you, butterfly? I'm sliding down the pole. It's like going down the horn. I don't know. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. What's that over there?
Has anybody seen Kelly?
I'm like, what is this? And for some reason, the unicorn is just like, oh, you know my name. Say my name. Say my name.
Do you know who I am? Say my name.
Rumpelstiltskin. Gotcha.
That's like the best line from the butterfly, by the way.
Right, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, and we forgot to mention, he has a little aviator cap and goggles and a little scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's dressed. Yeah.
Oh, she's like, have you seen others like me, butterfly? Have you seen the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man? I'm like, we should be watching Shrek instead. Yes, I know the Muffin Man. The one on Drury Lane. He's married to the Muffin Man. The Muffin Man, the Muffin Man!
So he's just going to reenact movies he enjoyed more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at this point, the unicorn's like, oh, butterflies only repeat what they hear.
Yeah.
This butterfly doesn't know shit. I'm just going to go back to my life.
Yeah, they just know songs and poetry. And I'm like, am I a butterfly? Because all I know are movie quotes. And Simpsons, of course.
Yeah, babe, if DMX was a thing at the time of this butterfly would just be rapping.
Oh, so many N-words.
But, so, basically, this is where the movie that, Steve was a unicorn, would have been, like, stupid high butterfly, trot, 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 end of movie, like, live forever in his haunted, magic forest.
His haunted forest. Haunted with the magic of a unicorn.
Exactly.
The thirst for blood. Actually, I just had a thought. If this was called The Black Unicorn, you know who the voice of the butterfly would be?
Who?
Old Dirty Bastard.
Yes! Just like I take a cat toy away from the dog.
You got Kiki Palmer as the last unicorn. Like, yo, you seen others like me? Shimmy, shimmy, da, shimmy, da, shimmy, da. What is this you speak?
So the unicorn starts to walk off and is just like, well, fuck you, butterfly.
Yeah. And then the butterfly's like, whoa, hold on, hold on, hold on. Okay. There's this thing called the Red Bull who's been pushing all unicorns into the edge of the earth.
First he does the full Webster's Dictionary defines a unicorn as.
Oh, yeah.
Unicorn, though. Meaning one horn.
Uni meaning one and cornio meaning horn. Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's like a full breakdown. It's like, oh, God, is this how we're going to drag it out to 80 minutes? All right, all right.
Listen. Listen quickly. Listen.
Listen. Listen.
Listen.
Listen.
Listen.
Yeah.
But then we get the very ominous, the Red Bull drove them, ran them down the roads long ago and covered their tracks and ran them into the ocean. Listen. Listen quickly. Listen.
Yeah. I'm like, that's odd. I've heard that Red Bull gives you wings. Steve made that joke about 20 times watching this movie because everybody said Red Bull like the Red Bull commercials.
So Red Bull hadn't come out when I saw this movie. So when the commercials started coming on, I legit thought it had to have something to do with
it. It's unicorn juice.
Right?
It's true. But But yeah, basically at this point, the unicorn's like, well, I must leave the forest because, well, what if the unicorns need me? What if this legend is true?
What if they're waiting for me somewhere?
So she gallops off in super slow motion.
Yes, she's magical, Steve.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, is that just how she gallops? And it's like slow to the rest of us, but...
By the way, we have to say at this point, the animation is gorgeous.
The animation is the reason for watching this. What was the other movie we did recently where that was the case? Batman Ninja. That's right.
Batman Ninja is beautiful.
Watch it for the animation. The story will have you scratching your fucking head. But...
Hey, bats plus monkeys equal Batman Ninja.
That's right.
If I've learned anything.
It's true. I don't know. We get a scene here where... I just have written down as Friar Tuck. Just some dude with a little bald spot on top of his head.
Yep.
He's like, oi, what you go out there? And, like, starts pulling his belt off and, like, ready to, like, whip her or, like, wrap her around her neck.
No, he's going to catch her. Yeah, no, if you paid attention to it.
I did. He doesn't see the horn. I know.
Yeah, but he's just like, wow, you're the most beautiful horse I've seen. I'm going to clean you up and make you fat and take you to the fair and sell you. Like,
I paid attention.
And she is so offended. Horse? Oh! I should kill you, bitch!
Yeah, and then she, like, points the horn at him. I'm like, here we go!
But so she flings the belt and knocks him over and takes off. But he doesn't know she has a horn, so she's like, oh.
I must have tripped or something.
My foot must have slipped. That's a horse!
And then we get our next song. On Man's
Going
Road.
Going down Man's Road.
Walking on Man's Road.
Which I've actually heard on the radio before.
Oh, well, there you go. we just see the unicorn, like, going on a journey, an incredible journey, you might say. A lot of rain and all that. She's walking through it. And then she's, like, sleeping.
She pulls over because she's tired. She's been walking through snow and rain and sleet and dark of night.
On a horse with no name. Felt good to be out of the rain.
She is a horse with no name.
So then
I am a horse with no name. Need to get out of the rain.
In the desert, you can't remember your name.
I never had a name, so it's okay.
I'm sorry, we gotta sing it like Mia Farrow does in the movie.
She does a very good job giving an ethereal voice to the unicorn.
So then Mama Fortuna's Midnight Carnival or whatever comes rolling through town. Yeah.
Oh, and I love, like, I genuinely love how ugly all these characters are.
Right, yeah.
Like, they're so well designed. Mm-hmm. And in so many things, like, especially kids' movies and stuff, like, everybody's beautiful, which is fine. But I just kind of love how grotesque they all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can dig it. Yeah, and so we meet three people in the carnival here. We meet Mommy Fortuna.
Mommy Fortuna.
Voiced by Angela Lansbury. And... basically just a witch.
Yeah.
Like,
you really can't tell it's Angela Lansbury.
No.
She does a really good job. You meet four people because you also meet her crow, who, while he's not mentioned, is in the rest of the fucking movie.
Oh.
Did you guys notice the crow follows them the rest of the way?
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crow's like the crow is the one that, we'll get to it, but like, shows the bandits where Smendrick is in the tree because he was like pulling on his tail coattails, and he's like hanging out with King Hagrid on the balcony and like
I did know someone
that's right.
So the crow,
mm-hmm.
We meet her son Rook.
I don't know if it's her son or just her assistant, but he does just call her mommy.
Yeah.
But she's Mommy Fortuna.
Yeah, Mommy
so
Fortuna,
that could
just be
her first name.
Mm-hmm. And madam, mommy.
Rook is great. He's basically a golem.
What do you see, Rook?
Dead horse. Which is my favorite line in this movie.
You just look at the unicorn because you can't see the horn. What do you see? He's lying there on the ground. Dead horse.
It's like, it's just a sleeping horse. Like, but that's what he sees.
What do you see, Juggler? And we see Juggler, who we find out later, his name is Schmendrick.
The magician.
That's right.
But, like, so you get a lot of, like, a view from each character's eyes in this movie. So you can see, that Schmendrick sees the horn, but then he's like, it's just a horse. I just see a white mare.
Yeah.
And Mommy Fortuna's like, I want it. She's mine. Catch her. I'll put a sleep spell on her. She'll sleep till morning. Catch her. Yeah. Put her in a cage.
Yep. Yeah, we basically wake up the next morning, open for business or whatever.
Yeah,
she's in the
Midnight Carnival.
Yeah. And we see the manticore. It's like a man, half man, half lion or something.
It's a, it has the face of a man, the body of a lion, and the tail of a scorpion.
Oh, that's right. The scorpion tail, yeah. The face of a man thing, I mean, it kind of looked like Rook, I guess. But it's just a grotesque, like, ogre face. Which, with the lion mane, it's like, okay, that's just an interpretation of a lion, I guess.
Right.
But... yeah, there are a couple. Oh, yeah, there's like the and behold the dragon that speaks 17 languages badly and is suspect to gout or something. Yeah. Like that. And then, oh, that's right. Yeah, Schmander comes over and starts talking to the unicorn. Like, what do you see? Like,
they are illusions. She just, look, over there's a, like a sickly snake. It's a dragon. And over there's a lion with no teeth. That they
poor toothless lilac. Yeah. Poor toothless lion, and I forget the what the monster was, but it was like, and that's just an ape with a twisted foot.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, right, it was an ape.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the unicorn always acknowledges real magic. She's like, she has real magic, but she doesn't have the power to turn them into anything. Just illusions for those who want to see it. Yeah. And Schmendrick's like giving a fake horn to a real unicorn. Yes, I know who you are. And it's also like, okay, at this point, Mr. Frederick, you've been talking to a horse.
Yeah.
So I think she gets that you know what she is.
Right. That's...
You're responding to my responses.
You've been having a 20-minute conversation, so I think she knows you know who she is. But I guess he has to acknowledge it because she's like royalty.
Yeah, and then we pan to the next cage. Behold, Mr. Ed, the talking horse. Oh.
No, Katie, what's in the cage next to the unicorn?
The harpy.
The harpy.
That one's real. That's, was it like...
Solano or something?
Solano, like the harpy. That woman's death waits in that cage.
You're right.
And Schmendrick's like, oh, yeah, she got her asleep on the road, too. And yeah, we need to get out before the harpy gets out.
but he does also say, don't be afraid. Schmendrick is with you.
And then he, like, flings his, like, cloak and runs off.
Yeah, it's great. Like fucking Bela Lugosi, just
Oh yeah, because Rook's coming around with the tour, and he's like, "Hey, get away from the horse!
Get away from the horse!
Have no fear, Schmendrick goes with you."
Oh, and then Mommy Fortuna kind of pops up too, and is just like, "That's right, I have a unicorn and a harpy. My immortality will be that harpy will live forever, knowing that I caught her and imprisoned her. She can kill me if she wants, but that bitch will never forget."
Oh, and she's like, and you too. Like, you're never going to forget I held you either. So I look like, so that's my immortality.
Yeah. So then that night, you know, the unicorn's there, like, about ready to go to sleep. And then Schmendrick pops up. Schmendrick is with you. Let's get you out of here. I'm the last of the red hot Solanis.
I'm very helpful.
Okay, you're right here in the middle of everything. What do you want to say? You want to do anything? You just want to be in the way?
Oh, I had my nap.
What are you doing?
And I'm awake now.
Okay.
And you're not paying attention to me?
You want to be in a cage? I will cage you like a harpy. And then my immortality will be... Yeah, so he's the last of the red hot swamis, whatever that means. And then he tries, like, freeing her with his spells and ends up, like, shrinking her cage.
Right. And he's like, turns the bar, like basically lights the bars on fire, shrinks the cage. She's like, all right, I don't even want to try this anymore. And she's like, no, try it again.
And he's like,
it wasn't the right spell, but there was real magic in it. Try it again, please, before the harpy gets me.
And all of his response is basically like, you know what? I'm just going to use the key that I stole from Rook.
Oh, no. His line is spectacular. It was like, you deserve the services of a first-class magician, but I guess you're going to have to settle for a second-class pickpocket. Jingle, jingle.
Yeah. That's great. And I love the lock. Like, she tries to put it in the lock, and it's like, it's Mummy Fortuna.
Some magician.
But then he, like, puts it in again, and he just goes, get! And then, like, throws the lock off. It's like, okay, run!
And then she frees all the poor injured creatures.
Yeah, and like Rook shows up like, oh, you got my, you freed the animals, ain't you?
Oh, that's right, because it's like, where is Rook? Oh, I gave him a riddle. It takes him all night to figure out riddles. All right, Schmendrick. Well, how is a raven like a writing desk? Oh my god!
Yeah, but then the harpy...
The last creature she frees is the harpy.
Yeah, and she gets close. Go for it, babe.
Oh, and Schmidt's like, no, no, run, she'll kill you if she gets out. And then, like, one of my other favorite lines from this that Steve and I quote all the time, the harpy, free me, we are sisters, you and I. Because they're two sides of the same magic. Right. Also, did you guys notice the harpy had three boobs?
Yes.
Yo.
Yes.
Did I notice the harpy had three boobs? Total recall, baby.
I love the harpy design because she, again, she's so grotesque.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
And especially compared to the unicorn, who's so beautiful.
Right.
But yes, so yes, so the unicorn breaks the lock and the magic on the harpy's cage, and she bursts free and flies up into the night sky, and then decides she must go for her arch nemesis, the unicorn. And they have a little, they have it out a little bit, and then Mommy Fortuna comes out of her trailer and is like, "I have you!"
And the harpy's like, "We made you!"
Oh, and the harpy's like, "Hold on, arch nemesis unicorn. Yeah. I got a project."
hold that thought. I got a maximum overdrive this bitch.
And it's great, because then it cuts to, like, Schmendrick, who's like, run! Oh, God, that poor... Oh, God!
Oh, she's being torn to pieces! Off screen, of course!
The unicorn's like, come with me, but walk. Don't run. You'll attract her attention.
Yeah, we immortals, that attracts us or something.
And yeah, like, never run from anything immortal. It attracts our attention. Which also is true of predators. Don't run from predators.
Like Dracula 2000?
Exactly.
Don't run from Gerard Butler. Oh, don't learn from me. So they walk away. And then this is where, like, I swear this was the first time King Haggard was mentioned.
Yes, because they just know that the Red Bull ran them. And then, that's, the unicorn says, asks Mendrick when they're healthy, way away, like the next morning. And he's just like, tell me what you know of the Red Bull. And he's like, oh, there's so many stories. Who do you know, You don't know what's real. Like, some say the bull is a regular bull. Some say the bull is a ghost. Some say that King Hagrid keeps it prisoner in his basement. Others say the bull keeps King Hagrid prisoner in his castle. I mean, I don't know.
I also like the exchange they have where the unicorn's like, well, thank you for freeing me. You know, normally I would grant you a wish, but I can't grant the wish you really want.
She's like, that's like, thank you for freeing me. I wish I could reward you the way you want. And he's like, yeah, you can't make me a real magician. She's like, I really can't.
And then he's like, don't worry about it. She's like, don't worry, I won't.
Don't worry about it. Oh, I won't. Yeah. So if unicorns, like, can't regret and can't feel sorrow and are basically kind of smug, does that mean, if harpies are the opposite side, does that mean, like, am I a harpy because I'm just full of regret and sorrow and anger?
Babe, you know, as your husband, I cannot answer that question.
I only have two boobies.
I'll have to double check.
So you will perform a thorough inspection later.
Join us next week when we have the answer. So then, I don't know, they hear a noise like, oh, hide, it's outlaws.
Oh, because that's right, like, so where is this King Hagrid's kingdom? Oh, well, actually, we're on the edge of it. Yeah. Mommy Fortuna would never come within miles of this place. Also, it's really dangerous. Hold on. Okay, run, I hear bandits.
And Schmendrick's, like, instantly found by him, like, oh,
because the crow was pulling on his coattails.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He climbs the tree. And then, he gets, he's picked up by a couple of bandits, and they're like, oh, that's right, because they pull him down. It's raining ninnies!
It's raining ninnies! And they, like, run off with him, and the unicorn's like, oh, I should probably follow behind, you know, from a safe distance or something.
I do owe him.
So that night, we're around the campfire, and they're all eating rat soup for the third night in a row.
At least change the rat!
Rat stew for the third night! At least she could have used a different rat.
And we meet the leader of this merry bunch, Captain Cully.
Yeah.
And is Molly his wife?
She's his scullery woman.
his
That's what it says. That's what it says. So a scullery woman's like basically the dishwasher.
Yeah, okay.
So I think it's just, sort of like, well, you're once, like, the vibe I've gotten is it's sort of like, well, Molly, You're like sort of one step up from a prostitute.
Yeah, you're the,
so
you're,
if you,
the, you're the one clam in this carrot stew, so you gotta do the dishes and kinda
you gotta wash your skid marks out of our underpants and do the dishes, and we won't gang rape you.
Yeah. Fair? I don't know. Yeah, but because she
is bitter.
Oh yeah, yeah. She comes out. She's got sass, she's coming out, she kinda looks like what you think the beaten Irish wife stereotype might be. Like
barefoot,
the same outfits,
kinda raggedy.
Hair, and just coming out like, oh, what you doing down here?
Nope, I won't have it. Not another mouth to feed. I'm like, slit his throat now, Cully, because I'm not dealing with another one of you.
Throw it in the stew.
The soup's no thick as sweat as it is.
Yeah. Yep, got him. Schmendrick, he's like, he starts like, oh, you're Captain Cully. I've heard great legends about you. And of course, Cully's like, please tell me these magical tales you've heard of my adventure.
Regaled us with the stories you've heard of me and my free men. So like the whole that they're the free men, like, leads into the chapter that they cut out of, like, the King Hagrid's people who just live in a sad village and basically live the exact same life, but anything they have, they've paid taxes to Hagrid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not Robin Hood, though.
Definitely no, because Robin Hood's not real.
Oh yes, this is the real Robin Hood. You know, like the 2018 version.
Because Molly Grew's like, I don't want to hear about Cully anymore. I'm tired of hearing about Cully. Tell me about something fun. Tell me about Robin Hood and Maid Marian. And Cully's like, they're fake. Fake news.
Fake news. I tell you, Robin Hood is a myth. babe, you almost forgot another one of your favorite lines.
Yes, come join us around the fire. Have a taco. Which is in the book! It's the end of that chapter! Which I always thought that's what I heard, but again, on like a poor quality VHS with no closed captioning, it's like, that can't be what he said. So like my entire childhood, and like when I'd ask other people who'd watched it on VHS, they're all like, I don't know what Captain Cully said. It sounds like have a taco. And then like when I got the DVD, the first thing we did was throw the closed captions on and we're like, have a taco. And then I got the book and I'm like, it's have a taco!
Mom, look!
Yeah, so we, Schmendrick starts calling upon the fourth wind and blah, blah, blah.
Magic do as you will, magic do as you will, magic do as you will.
And then the ghosts of Robin Hood and Maid Marian come out of the forest.
And all the merry men!
Yeah, Captain Cully's basically like, what's this then?
And a bunch of the men start chasing after him, like, Little John, come back, take me with you!
And then Captain Cully and his Little John, the right-hand guy, they tie Schmendrick to a tree, and they're basically like, hey, we'll figure it out in the morning, probably sell him.
Yeah, by next week, we'll both be wealthy men, selling a real magician who can call upon the fake Robin Hood. Ha 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 ha.
So, Katie, what happens when Schmendrick is tied to this tree?
He casts a spell and the tree comes to life, but she is a giant-breasted woman.
Yeah!
And she is crushed between her boobs.
Oh,
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. What a way to go in this children's story, am I right?
Oh, and she is in love with Schmendrick.
Yes.
I love you. Love you, love you, love you, love you.
Help, help, unicorn, help me.
When no one knows what men are, I will hold the color of your eyes. Oh, there's nothing like a tree's love. Unicorn! Unicorn, get me! And when the unicorn comes up, the tree's like, you hussy! I'll never let her have you! You'll always be mine! And the unicorn's like, and unmagicked.
Yeah, unicorn comes, frees Schmendrick, and basically like, oh, thank you. But then Molly comes up, and she's like,
oh my god, oh. I love Molly's reaction.
Oh yeah, go for it.
She's just like, she comes up and she's like, oh my god, it's a unicorn. And then she's just like, oh god damn you, why didn't you come to me like when I was young and beautiful and innocent, and now I'm just like a dirty scullery maid with no shoes. Like, how dare you? And Schmendrick's like, don't talk to my unicorn that way.
Right.
Like, and he's like, by the way, she's the last one. And she's like, of course, it'd be the last unicorn that came to see Molly Grew. I forgive you.
Oh, and also, I'm coming along on this merry journey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, Spencer's like, all right, well, we gotta go now. And she's like, and Molly Grew's like, all right, I'm ready. And he's like, you can't come.
Yeah. No girls allowed.
We're on a dangerous quest, and what are we gonna do with you? And Molly Grew's just like, we'll ask the unicorn.
Yeah. Also, Hagrid's fortress is this way. Okay. We're going to fight King Hagrid's fortress.
Well, you're going the wrong way. Sorry, Schmendrick, but you were going the wrong way. And the unicorn's just, like, laughing at Schmendrick. The unicorn's hella mean in this movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The entire way through the movie, she's, like, constantly mean.
Yeah, I love her.
She gets to the point. She gives zero fucks. Yeah. Then we get another Walking on Man's Road. Kind of a remix version, or maybe just the second verse.
The second half. I think
the beat was a little different, though. But, all right. Mm-hmm. But then they come up to Hagrid's fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And they start seeing a red glow from the castle.
Yep.
What could it possibly be?
Gives you wings!
Perhaps something that gives you wings? Yeah. No, it's the Red Bull. And it starts chasing the unicorn.
Run, unicorn, run! And Molly Grew's just like, do something, Schmendrick! He does the magic do as you will, magic do as you will. Oh my god, I don't know what I'm doing. Magic do as you will. And what happens?
Molly starts to grin like, what have you done?
And the unicorn gets turned into a human.
Yeah.
A beautiful girl.
A platinum blonde bitch, as I have written down in my notes. Schmendrick, what have you done?
With big purple doe eyes and a birthmark where her horn should be.
Totally couldn't tell this was made in Japan at all.
Does she like being a human?
Not at all.
No. Why would you be?
The worst thing.
Why would you like being a human?
This is horrible. This is like literally the worst thing that could happen to her.
Yeah.
She's like, I feel this body dying all around me.
And even Molly knows her. I think it was Molly is like, no, yeah. She'll go mad. She's been a unicorn for so long, and now she's one of us. So we then cut to her instantly going mad, like, what have you done to me? I'm hideous now.
And Schmendrick is actually the voice of reason here. He's like, the magic chose the form. This is literally the only form we could get you close enough to King Hagrid to find out what happened to the other unicorns. Like, you're just gonna have to hang on. The magic will turn you back when you're supposed to turn back. And she's just like, I hate you all. Fuck you all.
Are you afraid of the body more than your body more than you are of the Red Bull?
Oh, and she's like, I wish you'd just let him take me.
Yeah, right. I'm like, Jesus. You know, these 80s kids show, they don't fuck around.
Right?
Oh, and that's right. There was the... all right, so they're approaching the castle now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple guards up on the mm-hmm. you know, the... I guess the walls
the watchtower.
The watchtower or whatever. And they're like, oh, here comes a magician and some old crone. And
it's not that voice.
Oh, go for it.
Because there's only two guards. Because
yeah.
There's only two people in the castle.
Wait, is it Jeff Bridges?
No. It's Jeff Bridges and Hagrid.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hagrid. Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
it was like.
Oh look,
yeah,
there's a magician. And
yeah,
some
yeah,
old
no,
because
it was a people approach, and it was, yeah. It's a magician, or yeah, it looks like it's a magician and a woman, and there's a girl with them, and again on the VHS, I know I couldn't make out what it said, and I always thought, and she's a nudist, because she's just wearing a cloak.
Yeah, yeah.
But it turns out with the closed captioning on, it says she has a newness.
Yeah. Yep, I thought it said nudist too. I'm like, all right, there we go.
Which all she's right, not go. Wearing clothes, so.
Yeah. So they're invited to the castle.
Yep, by these guards with helmets on.
Yep, yep.
And they get taken up to King Hagrid's throne room.
And you point out the pillars in the castle have like mm-hmm. these cool little like faces in them.
Yes, the design on the castle is so great.
Yeah, it was.
It's like super crooked and wonky, and like all of the background stuff. Yeah, there's like little creepy faces and little like eyeballs will like pop up, and yeah, they did a great job on the design of this.
Yeah, they did.
And then they will like kind of walk through, and then they're like, "All right, here's the throne room," and like. This isn't a throne room. Take me to King Hagrid.
This is a cell. This is a dungeon.
And then they pull the mask, the helmet off, and they're like, I am King Hagrid. And this is my son, Prince Lear.
Hi.
Hey guys. It's me, Jeff Bridges.
That's pretty much what he says.
Yes. You might remember me from King Kong 1976. No? Or maybe you remember my dad, Lloyd? My brother, Bo? No? Not one? All right, I'll be over here.
I'm going to be the dude soon?
Yeah, right. Yeah, in a scant 20 years or whatever. 17 years? Yeah. So Schmendrick shows up. He's like, I heard you could use a magician. And like, well, I already have a magician. Behold, what's his name? Mabrook.
And then like Mabrook like appears out of thin air and is like, ah, sire, do you need me? Oh, Schmendrick the fuck up, my boy. Oh, do you have any power yet?
Because are you still pretending to be a wizard?
And King Harper's like, I keep nothing around me that does not make me happy. So there's no courts and no parties and everything sucks. And so why would I have a master magician? Why would I take an incompetent one? And Schmendrick's like, oh no, that's right. Because Molly Grew is like, because you're not happy.
That's right.
And he's just like, you might as well try an
incompetent magician.
Like, Mabrook, you're fired.
And he's like, all right, farewell. Good luck, suckers. Poof. And
he's all mad. He's like, oh, yeah, how dare you replace me with. And then he sees the girl.
Yeah.
And then he starts laughing and is like, oh, Hagrid, you just let your doom in through the front door. I wouldn't be you for the entire world. Goodbye, poor Hagrid. Goodbye.
As he bursts into crows. No.
Pretty much. And then and everybody's just like,
that was weird.
And Hagrid's just like, well, whether you mean my doom or not, you can stay. Come and go as you will.
Oh, and he also, like, looks into
her eyes. And then he notices the girl and is like, who are you? What are you doing? Why can't I see myself in your eyes? Why are there deer in your eyes? What is up with this weird girl?
What's up with this weirdo? Like, oh, that's my niece. Her name's,
Amalthea.
Amalthea. Yeah.
Lady Amalthea.
Yep. And, Hagrid's basically like, all right, you're free to come and go. My secrets will protect themselves. You should do the same.
I hope yours do the same.
Yeah, yeah, it's all like that.
Yeah, and King Lear's like, you're pretty.
Oh, you're kind of hot. And she just prove myself to you.
She just, like, stares at him and is like, whatever. Look at the ocean. Like, I'm over all y'all.
I'm like, these two are the most vapid characters I've seen in a long fucking time. They might as well be Valerian and City of a Thousand Planets or whatever.
Oh, there we go. We have our Amalthea and Prince Lear.
Yeah, there we go. So we get another song, Where Do Unicorns Go?
Where do the unicorns go?
And during this, we're introduced to a one-eyed cat. I'm like,
wait. With a peg leg.
Yeah, with a peg leg, which I'm like, wait, is that Dragon from The Secret of Nim?
Yeah!
That's a Don Bluth thing, you bastards! One of you is a hack! Around the same time, so I'm not sure which came first.
It's a great design, though! Oh, it is. And yeah, they sort of show us around the castle that way, and there's like unicorn paintings around.
Yeah. Oh, we also see Lear fighting a fucking dragon.
Yeah! I love the design on that dragon. He's so cool. Long, skinny neck and his, like, bushy beard and his whiskers.
And he had, like, a bunch of tails. Oh, no, that was back at the carnival, right? Where that the bunch
of tails. Yeah, that was, that was the serpent.
Yeah. But yeah, we see him fight a dragon, blah, blah, blah. And then we, like, smash cut to Amalthea. But you see Lear kind of like walk behind and like offer her the hide of the dragon.
It's the head.
Wait, what's the head?
It's the dragon's head.
Oh, I thought it was like
oh, no,
like
it's the head.
Hide or something. Like
it's like the
skin.
Head. Oh, and shit. She's just like, ugh.
Yeah. Ocean. Ugh, this again. And like, what the hell, dude?
So the song ends, and then we see Lear cutting himself instead of skinning potatoes in the kitchen with Molly Grew.
Just cutting himself, just like, I want to feel alive!
No, like he's trying to peel potatoes, but it's almost like he's a prince and he's never cut a potato before.
Yeah.
So he's like, slice, ow, Molly, I've like become a hero for her. It's like slay dragons and ogres, and she makes me like feel bad for killing things. I don't know what else to do! There's nothing else to kill.
She doesn't even care about all the deeds I've done for her.
And Molly's like, cut away from yourself, Jesus. It's like, maybe she doesn't want a great deed. Maybe just try, like, being yourself.
Try talking to her. She doesn't talk back.
She hasn't said one word in all this time.
And we then cut to, again, she's like, Amalthy or whatever is like contemplating her existence. And
just staring at the ocean.
And then she starts to sing. And basically the moral of the song is, now that I'm a woman, everything fucking sucks.
By the way, this is already a better song than the song that's actually sung. The now oh, yeah. that I'm a woman, everything is strange.
Yeah. Mia Farrow's not a great singer. I'm sorry, guys.
You guys, and if you think I did a bad job on that, pull the song up.
Mia Farrow is also a songbird.
Yeah.
An albatross is also a songbird.
Wah, 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 wah. Oh my god, I'm trying to remember. One of the times we went to the California State Fair, they had like bird display, and there's like a gorgeous like rainbow in black, some sort of African bird, and Steve was looking at it. I was like, wow, that's gorgeous. And it just like, I don't know if you remember, like it kind of got near you and you were like looking at it. It just goes, ah! Yeah. He goes, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with that bird? I feel like that's me and my singing.
Yeah, pretty much. So then there's this big roar, it like shakes the castle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cat comes up and starts talking like a fucking pirate. And I'm like, oh, the cat can talk. That's right. That's perfectly natural.
That's right. Molly Greer goes to talk to Amalthea and she's just like not fucking having it and wanders off. Yeah, and then the roar happens and the cat's like, oh, Molly, that's just the Red Bull. You know that as well as anyone. Molly Greer's like, well, then why don't you just help me? You know I'm looking for a way to get down there. And something comes up like, ah, yes, you're trying to help the unicorn girl. And Molly's like, wait, you know? How the fuck do you know, cat?
I may only have one eye, but I see all.
Right. Any cat out of its first fur would recognize a unicorn.
And then there's he starts spitting the riddle of,
When the wine drinks itself, and the clock strikes the right time, and the skeleton speaks, you may enter the Red Bull. Oh, goddamn you, cat! I'm gonna shake you till you give me the information. I can't do that.
Yeah, fuck, I can never give you any straight answers. And then he switches his eye patch to the other eye, and I'm like, gee, you nipped.
Also, is this like the most cat scene you've ever seen?
Right,
yeah, pretty much.
Like, pet me, don't shake me.
Yeah. So then we see Lear. He's like writing poetry or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's like, Molly, would you mind like giving this a proofread or something?
Oh,
or
before that, we cut to Schmendrick doing all kinds of like dumb shit for Hagrid.
Oh yeah, that was a couple scenes ago. But
he's like juggling tea and he's like
dancing with his cloak like he's Doctor Strange. There
was something about like. He was, like, fighting the wind and the snow, and Hagrid's, like, laughing at him, like, ha ha, you're freezing to death.
Yeah. Look at him struggle to survive.
That was that scene, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, because that's right, because then Schmendrick is, like, wrapped up drinking soup with Molly in the kitchen, is like, I can't keep doing this, Molly.
Yeah.
You better find the way down to the fucking
Red Bull. I've done unspeakable things.
I can't keep doing this. And, like, the unicorn won't even talk to me anymore. And Molly's kind of like, yeah, she's kind of a bitch, but, I forgot to tell you, I found the skeleton from the riddle, so, yeah. Like, we're halfway there. You didn't mention that? And that's when Lear's like, knock, knock, hey, Molly?
Yeah.
I wrote a poem. Would you mind looking it over? And I'm kind of surprised Schmendrick didn't laugh at him.
Yeah, like, this guy.
And Molly's like, yes,
as he's walking out of the room, he yells back, gay!
Right?
It's the 80s, guys. It was okay back then, right? It was 82. We didn't even know what that was. Paul Lynde and Charles Nelson Reilly were on Hollywood Squares all the time. Confirmed bachelors. Okay.
I recently saw a meme that'll be like some song from the 90s will just be like, yo, I love sucking men's dicks. And your dad will be like, yeah, we had no idea what that meant back then.
Yeah. Relax, don't do it when you want to suck to it.
When you want to come.
Frankie says
when
relax.
When you want to come.
Hit me with those laser beams. What does that mean? Ski, ski, ski! he writes a poem. We also find out Amalthea is having these bad dreams, and like he comes up and starts like saying his poetry, or Lear comes up, starts singing his poetry, or whatever.
Her bad dreams are remembering her forest friends,
yeah,
and then being chased by the Red Bull,
yeah. And then like, is there anything I can do to help? He's like, you can drown out my dreams.
I don't want to remember whatever's trying to make me remember it.
And so,
I just want to remember you.
And so the next thing he does is start singing. And it is Jeff Bridges doing the most monotone singing I've heard in a while.
Oh, he tries to hit some high notes.
Oh, he tries. He tries.
He tries to match Mia Farrow on some high notes.
All I have to tell you, anyway, I love you.
Yeah, that's about perfect, a perfect representation. See, yeah. Were you just playing a recording?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it was on my phone. but then when Amalthea starts joining in and stuff, too, like with
she's just singing the woman song.
Yeah, the woman song.
Now that I'm a woman.
And I just look at Izzy and I'm like,
everything has changed.
I just leaned over to Izzy and I was like, you ever feel like people are having two different conversations just next to each other?
Sort of like watching my family at a family reunion. Yeah.
This turkey is great. It's a shame Susu died. What?
Do you remember that time I made you sleep in the back of a U-Haul while I drove across down the eastern coastline?
Yeah, so...
Oh, I can't get a DNA test. I'm afraid the police may have access to it.
Yeah. I'm afraid my sperm may come up in some things. Oh, boy.
Actual conversations held by parts of my family.
Wow.
So then we get to, that's right, Molly takes him to where she found the skull or whatever.
Yes, Schmendrick and the princess.
And they're talking about,
the unicorn.
Okay, yeah, the wine drinks itself, the skull speaks, and when the clock is the right time, the lair will reveal itself. Okay, cool, we got this.
All right, so there's the clock, and there's the skeleton. Oh, he's laughing at us. Hey, that's a start. Is that all we need?
Yeah, right.
And the skull's like, that's not what you need.
Oh.
Come back tomorrow.
Oh.
And then Molly.
I don't think Amalthea's down there yet. Cause
no, Amalthea was with him.
But then we missed the scene where she was talking with Hagrid.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah, that is right before this.
Yeah.
Hagrid catches her on the balcony. He's like, love slows you down, my lady. I finally caught you. I know what you are. I know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about.
He also casually drops like, oh, yeah, Lear isn't my son. I picked him up on a doorstep or something.
He's riding back after killing something. She's like, your son's coming home.
That's not my boy.
I found him on a doorstep. It was pleasant.
For a while. Seed.
He was pleasant for a while, but now he doesn't bring me joy. His eyes are empty, like yours.
There's only one thing that makes me happy. Don't mock me. Don't you dare mock me.
I don't know what you're talking
about,
sir.
Come here.
Oh, okay.
Look into the sea. Tell me what you see.
It looks like an ocean. I think there's some seagulls.
The Red Bull chased them out there into the sea. Ooh. You don't see them? Ooh. I must have all of them. I must have all or nothing.
Who's mocking you, sir?
the people mocking me. They're disrespecting me. Who's disrespecting
That's
you?
That's what I was going for.
Guys, look up Aaron Andrews, Richard Sherman at the end of the, NFC Championship or something like 7-8 years ago? You know, you remember Richard Sherman, right?
Richard Sherman was like talking a lot of shit, yeah. And then he won his game, and this like little tiny blonde like interviewer was like, so how do you feel winning the game? And he's like,
oh, you guys are disrespecting me all week, so we came out, we shot what's what, they're disrespecting us.
Who's disrespecting you, sir?
Everybody.
And then he just like walks off and she's just like, back to you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you know where I was going with
that. Yeah.
Who was mocking you?
Yeah, so basically she doesn't see them and he's like, stop pretending. Stop pretending to be something you are not. Right, Sushi?
So she's working on his love poem for Katie.
Yeah.
Like Prince Lear. Apparently involves cheese and a naked tennis ball.
So he starts saying, like, oh, yeah, your eyes have become like Lear's.
Empty as anyone who's never seen a unicorn.
Empty as soulless vessels. Yeah. And she's like, you must be mistaken. Or no, that's right. He's like, no, you're not a unicorn. I must be mistaken. Oh, no.
Yeah, he's like, or not. I can wait. I have time. Do you have time? I must go now. He's mad.
Oh, that's right. Then Schmedrick shows up. Like, hey, don't cry. Don't cry. We'll find the unicorns. Don't worry about it.
I don't even know what you're all talking about.
What?
Oh, yeah, they're like, if you've become human enough to cry, then there's not enough unicorn left inside you. And she's just like, there's a unicorn inside me! Oh, my God! By the way, apparently the dog wants you to take him out.
I don't give a fuck. Fuck that dog.
It's your turn. This is what he does when we podcast. And then as soon as we stop podcasting, he'll go back to napping. Oh, I don't know if we told you or not, but, like, if you need to take a break or anything, just, like, you know, be like, hey, just a moment or whatever. It's called a Steve problem. We just like leave a recording and Steve edits it and makes us all sound smart.
Okay.
And he'll take out, like, if you stutter or stumble, he'll take that out and make it sound like you just had a cohesive thought.
Cool.
He makes us sound smarting.
How long does it take him to edit an episode?
About twice as long as the recording is.
Okay.
So, like, we are an hour and 14 minutes in already. Mm-hmm. So it's about 2.5 hours. To this point, we're not done with the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, babe. You're really good. You're spectacular. So there was one time we were recording. Steve was recording with a friend of ours, like, on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off work, like, late when we were in El Cerrito. So, like, I was like, go ahead and start the podcast. And he was like, okay, text me when you're here. And I was like, I'll pause the podcast, drive over and get you and come back.
Mm-hmm.
So he did what he always does. He, like, leaves it recording.
Mm-hmm.
And he left. And apparently Caster jumped up and started meowing into the microphone.
Really?
And our buddy Brendan, who was, like, on the other side, was like, Caster? Meow? Oh, how you doing, buddy? Meow! Like, they had a whole conversation.
I'm like, please tell me that was left in the podcast.
I know Steve left part of it, not the, like, full 15 minutes.
Right, right. That makes sense. That's so funny.
Yeah, he leaves Steve little notes. Past Steve won't even know. Future Steve does.
So funny.
Should I just continue?
Yeah.
All right. So where are we? Oh, yeah. So from there, we cut to the skeleton of Paul Lynde on top of a clock.
But who was he voiced by again?
René Auberjonois from Odo.
Odo from Deep Space Nine.
And Kroll or whatever he was in around that time.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, basically, Schmendrick tries to, like, oh, that's right. He's talking to you, like, oh, yeah, we just have to wait for the right time. Like, that's not it.
That's not how it works.
And then Schmendrick's like, it's okay, I got this. I'll give you some wine.
Yeah, Molly, where's the wine? I couldn't find any. I looked. I was kind of hoping if you maybe started with a bottle of water, you could turn water into wine.
It's never going to happen.
Like, oh.
It's never going to happen.
There we go.
There we go.
This is the funniest shit I've ever seen.
Me and Dick Van Patten. Never done that one. So, guys.
Steve hates Paul Lynde.
Fuck Paul Lynde. I know. Not my bag, baby. All right. So. Basically, like, turns like, oh, it's okay, I'm just gonna turn it to wine, and Paul Lynde is like, I must try some of it. Like, you're a skeleton, you can't taste it or smell it or anything, but I remember!
Schmendrick is a clever fucker, and is, like, basically is like, alright, abracadabra, water to wine! Glug, 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 like, drinks the water, and is like, I mean, it's barely passable. weak, like, it's now an empty container, like, weak body, no
I
want to
try some.
Oh, you wouldn't like this. This isn't your kind of thing.
I'll tell you the way. I just let me have some of it.
All right, if you insist. It's mediocre at best.
All right, you just go through the fucking clock. It's actually pretty fucking easy. Anyway, glug, 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 glug.
And then, like, it's the rosy cheeks, and she knows the skeleton.
Oh, yeah, it's like a... to get to the Red Bull, you have to go through time. A clock isn't time. It's just motors and gears. Just go through it whenever you damn well please.
Yeah.
Now, gimme, gimme, gimme.
But then the skeleton, as they're, like, walking through the clock or whatever, he notices that Amalthea is the unicorn. And he's like, what?
Haggard! Haggard, she's here!
Like, he's just like, not that one. No, not that one. Haggard, there's a unicorn! Haggard! Yeah. Unicorn!
And so Haggard's like running down the stairs. He's got his sword like ready to slay a bitch.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he runs into Schmendrick, and Schmendrick's just like dodging him because, you know, so they, Haggard's like, kind of an old dude.
Yeah, so they like push Amalthea through.
Yeah.
And then Molly's like, Schmendrick! Schmendrick's like, go, 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 I got this!
Yeah. And then, so they like go through time, the clock or whatever. And they're, like, in this foggy area, Molly
and
Amalthea.
It's, like, green
Amalthea mist. Yeah.
And
then Lear's, like, in there.
Yeah, so Molly's like, Amalthea, we have to do something. You have to save Schmendrick. He's doing this for you. And she's like, I don't even know what you guys are doing. I don't remember anything.
I have no idea what's going on.
And then Lear shows up and was like, hey, guys, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, what are you guys doing here in my fucking hot box or something?
Oh, and Molly's like, how did you figure out how to get in here? And he's like, what's to figure out? I saw her go through and I followed.
Yeah.
and
then eventually Schmendrick comes in too, but apparently he got cut or something.
Yeah,
by,
and he's like, it's pretty deep, but I'm going to be all right.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, does he die at the end? I don't remember that.
And Lear, instead of just following him in, just starts beating the clock to pieces.
Oh, Haggard.
Sorry, Haggard.
Haggard. Yeah,
Haggard
yeah.
beats the clock to pieces, destroys it.
Fuck your clock!
Pretty Look much. It. Cuts off his nose to spite his face.
Fuck
That's...
your skeleton, Paul Lind!
And then as the clock is destroyed, the green fog disappears and they're just in the caverns. So they have a conversation. Like, so Molly and Schmendrick are like, all right, we have to go out the way the Red Bull goes out. We're going to have to find where the unicorns are. And Amalthea's just like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't remember any of my past. I just want to be with Lear.
Yeah, and I love how Lear's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Yeah,
he's like,
which he should be.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Like, oh, yeah, she's a unicorn, and the Red Bull's chasing all the your dad's been hoarding the unicorns, as I'm sure you know. And
oh,
blah, blah,
I used
blah,
to have
blah.
A dream about
yeah.
the Red Bull running unicorns into the sea, and my dad was just like, go back to bed, son. It was a bad dream. There was no, it wasn't a dream. Yeah. It was real. And she's the last one. And Amalthea's like, I'm not. I'm a girl. And I love you. And I don't want to go anywhere else.
And I love how Shredder's like, fine. Marry him and die old and whatever. I don't give
right.
a shit.
Like the quest ends here. We're just going to die in this cave. Fuck you all.
And somewhere in the middle of this, Lear says, no. Just like that. Like, I feel like it's supposed to be like, no, but it's...
See, I think it's supposed to be like, no.
No. No, you're crazy.
Well, no, like, no, that's not how the story goes. You know, I'm a hero now, because I've been killing things.
Yeah.
Heroes, you know, the story doesn't end in the middle of the story.
Yeah, there's no happy endings, because nothing ever ends.
That's what
like
Schmendrick
that.
Says.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
No, that's right, Lear says the happy ending doesn't come in the middle of the story. We have to finish the quest. You can't just abandon a quest.
So
Molly's
so
like...
when they were saying that, I was having flashbacks of, like, the never-ending story.
Yeah.
Where, like, chapter two, it's like if someone were reading this thing, blah, blah, blah. He's talking about me.
Right?
Yeah.
So they start moving and the Molly's like, but what if there isn't a happy ending? And that's when Schmendrick's like, there are no happy endings because nothing ends. And it's just like, Jesus, y'all are dark.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I thought she was supposed to be the depressing one.
So they start to make their way out, and then the Red Bull figures out the girl is the unicorn, comes barreling down and starts charging her.
He knows, run!
Run, run! And then Schmendrick starts doing his magic do as you will, magic do as you will. She gets turned back into a unicorn!
Oh, after she falls and, like, sprains her ankle.
Oh, that's right.
Like,
she
falls. Goddamn Friday the 13th.
She falls, sprains her ankle, and then Lear comes and tries to fight the bull with a sword. And the bull
like,
makes a
whips
sword.
Whips her with his tail or something?
No. Turns it into flames.
green flame. Yeah.
He like makes it burst into flames.
Goddamn.
And then Schmendrick turns her back into a unicorn, so she runs out and they all follow.
And then right here when she was like running away out onto the beach, this is where Peacock decided it would be a good idea to start whatever movie they wanted. So it magically changed to a dog's tail, whatever the fuck that is.
Jesus Christ.
And it was like, guys, there's like 10 minutes left of the fucking movie. Don't change it.
We're at the climax of the third act.
Yeah.
Peacock. Fuck you, Peacock.
Get your shit together.
Seriously.
Bring back Faith Hill. Fuck you, Carrie Underwood. Don't care. Anyone get that reference?
Play some football.
I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Anyway. So, after we have
Sushi's to... Sushi's judging the hell out of you.
As you should.
That face.
So, after we had to back out of the app, go back in, look up Last Unicorn again, fast forward to the last 10 minutes of the fucking movie and hope it doesn't kick us to a dog's tail again.
And it tried to, and then you hit cancel.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so then we're on the beach, and Red Bull's chasing down the unicorn.
Yep, and Molly's like, Schmendrick, do something! Schmendrick's like, I can't! I've done everything I can! This isn't what magicians are for! And Molly's like, what the hell is magic for if not to save the last unicorn? And Schmendrick turns to Larry and goes, this isn't what magicians are for. This is what heroes are for.
Yeah, and I'm a hero!
Larry's like, I'll go. I got turned into a hero.
He got instantly knocked the fuck out.
Instantly. Because his sword already burst into flames. He's just like, maybe I just stand in front of it, I can win.
Maybe it's afraid of movement. Woogie, boogie, boogie. Ah!
And babe, Lear doesn't just get knocked out. He gets murdered.
Yeah, he's dead.
And Amalthea, like, as a unicorn, turns around. Does a... And then she decides, fuck it, let's fight a bull. Yep.
And her horn turns into a fucking lightsaber.
Yeah. That's how you know she's powered up, babe.
That's right.
And she starts running the Red Bull down.
Yeah, pushing him into the sea.
Molly and Schmendrick are like, yes, she's fighting back. She's doing what no other unicorn has ever done.
Yeah. And so the Red Bull's like, you know, he's like made out of fire. He's a goddamn Balrog or whatever. Being pushed in back into the water.
I love the hiss as his back feet hit the waves. And then what happens?
Katie?
The giant wave comes and there's like a bunch of unicorns riding the waves.
Yeah, like in the crest of the wave or whatever.
Yeah, and the music.
Leaning into the foam of the waves, yeah.
And the music's all dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
And then, all the unicorns start running out of the sea and nearly trample Lear's corpse. But luckily, Schmendrick and Molly are like, no, right here, keep go around. They like divert around and go running off.
And thousands of unicorns run up the cliffs.
Up the cliffs and on the walls and shit.
Yes! And they all run back down the road, crumbling Hagrid's castle.
With him in the top going, what the hell's going, no!
Like, low-key, he was doing the Mommy Fortuna, I held you!
I held you! Remember me!
Also, my other thought, the cat's still in there!
The pirate cat's dead!
So the castle crumbles into the sea, and all the unicorns are running back out into the world. And as the sun rises, Molly and Schmendrick are grieving over Lear's corpse.
Yeah. And then... the unicorn comes up, touches him with a horn, he's a zombie! Brains! Roll credits!
You forget, Molly is like, you came, or you stayed.
Yeah.
You stayed with us.
She remembers. And brings Lear back to life. And then unicorn just leaves.
Yeah, and Lear wakes up and is like, Dad, I had that dream again.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Where's Dad?
Was I dead? And he, like, looks up and the castle's just gone. And, like, Molly and Schmendrick, like, help him up. And it's just like, ugh.
They're, like, saying their goodbyes and shit. And Molly says something like, no, she's the only unicorn that knows regret and love.
Oh, yes, because Lear's like, it cuts to, like, them in a meadow. They've got some horses. And Lear's like, well, I gotta go because I'm, like, a hero now. I wish I just could have told her how I felt. I never, like, told her what was in my heart. And yeah, Molly's like, she knew. She's the only unicorn who's ever lived with regret and love. Aww. And Lear rides off into the sunset.
And then that night, Schmendrick and Molly, they're like, you know, sleeping by a campfire. But then Schmendrick sees the unicorn, and he goes to talk to her, and she's like, you're a wizard, Harry.
You're finally a real wizard.
And she's also like, I regret now, but whatever.
Oh, because
there's more unicorns, at least.
Oh, so like, she comes up, and, you know, he's like, I'm really a magician now, so, like, thank you. You know, and she's like, well, you know, that was your reward. And he's like, I'm sorry what I did to you. Like, I'm sorry you have to live with this now. And she's like, but now, you know, I'm the only unicorn who's ever known love. So I thank you for that. And I'm the only unicorn who's ever regretted. And for that, I thank you too. And he's just like, so what are you going to do now? Like, guess I got to go back to my forest.
Yeah, try to go home. And then that's when America starts coming back in. I'm alive!
We see her running back galloping back down the paths she took. And she comes home to her forest with all her foresty friends.
At the last eagle flies, when the dog gets thrown the fuck outside forever. Yeah, roll credits, guys. That's the last unicorn.
Yeah.
There are unicorns in the world now.
Yeah. Katie, would you recommend it?
Absolutely.
Izzy, how about you?
Oh, hell yeah. Every single person in the entire world should see this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is a goddamn waste of 94 minutes. No. No, it's pretty good. I liked it. It's,
My marriage is a lie. You can find me at Untidy Venus.
Hit me up in my DMs at Untidy Venus. No. It's what you expect. It's a 80s fantasy children's show. It's
not the world's most annoying kids movie by far.
No, yeah. No, not at all. And it's just a little, like, creepy, like, deeper than most kids' stories get. But it's definitely, like, fit in the 80s. Like, you know, if you're okay with the Never Ending Story and watching Artax sink in the Swamp of Sadness, mm-hmm. or Littlefoot's Mom, or Native American in a truck in Brave Little Toaster.
Committed suicide.
Return to Oz.
Gremlins, the dad dying in a chimney.
Oh, yeah, the dad's Christmas story.
We're saying is you need to just start traumatizing your kids early, mm-hmm. and they'll be prepared for life.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is a good one, because...
Yeah,
I don't think there's any blood in this movie. Even cutting his finger or something, I expect to see like a little drop or something. Even, it's like, nope.
Like the scene where they pan back to Mommy Fortuna and Rook being murdered, they're just sort of lying on their sides.
Yeah.
There's no blood. There's no horse. There's no gore, and really, even like all the deaths are implied. The only one we know is Lear, because he says like, I was dead.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah, Hagrid and the Pirate Cat could come back in the sequel.
Right? He just fell into the ocean. If I've learned anything from movies, that means nothing.
Yeah.
The last unicorn, colon, this time it's really the last unicorn.
The last unicorn, colon, this time it's personal.
Right. Death wish. No. So, yeah, I guess on that note, we'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, mm-hmm. we have more beer.
What?
Fun facts. And what we learned from the last unicorn.
I'm alive. I'm alive.
There's so many podcasts out there. How do I find the one for me?
For so long, I've searched for podcasts all over, but none of them seem to fit my needs. Where's my Nick Cage Pissing Fire podcast? Where's my Monkey Tickling? I couldn't find it anywhere until I found Everything I Learned from Movies podcast with Steve and Izzy. And now I get to hear about all the monkey tickling I want, baby.
So many podcasts out there are all talk and no Congo. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
Greatest living actor? Nicolas Cage, of course. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
One-liners, plot holes, gratuitous boobies? Fun fact, that's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
See if Everything I Learned from Movies is right for you at EILF Movies, that's Everything I Learned from Movies, on Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon. Free on all the major podcatchers.
Hey everybody, this is Jason.
And Jeff.
And Blake.
And we're the History of Bad Ideas podcast. And if you like hearing geeks talk about Fisto from He-Man.
Or zombies, or dragons, or zombie dragons.
I was given copy to read, but it's a piece of crap. So if you just like any geek or any fun stuff, just listen.
We drop every Wednesday on iTunes, Stitcher, Tangent Bound Network, or WeBeGeeksPC.com.
Oh god, I'm out of here. And remember to wear a coat.
Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out UntidyVenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top. Are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons? Magnets? Stickers? Bottle openers? Artist trading cards? Or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by UntidyVenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at UntidyVenus. Or visit her website at IzzyCreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? UntidyVenus.etsy.com. The goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Hi, this is Dana Gould, and you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies on your radio, phone, computer, television, or record player.
And we're back.
Oh my god, Steve, those are the greatest ads that ever added. In the history of adding.
Oh, she's added.
They get better every week. Sorry.
Babe.
Steve.
You know what that squeaking means.
Time for beer?
Time for a beer.
It's beer horn time.
This beer is brought to you by Sushi. It is honking horn. What you got to drink, babe?
We have. Steve picked up for us. From Red Rock Brewing, we have a pumpkin chocolate chip stout.
Yeah.
Stout brewed with pumpkin spices and lactose. Small batch, ooh, high quality. Salt Lake City, Utah.
It's a milk stout. Nice.
It's a milk stout. Mm. Let's see. Dang. Nothing says fall quite like a pumpkin chocolate chip stout by Red Rock Brewery. Our full-bodied flavored stout is brewed with cocoa nibs, pumpkin spices, and lactose. See you in the pumpkin patch. 5% alcohol by volume.
Five. Okay, so it's a pretty standard milk stout.
Okay.
Probably on the sweet end. Yeah.
Alrighty, sounds good. It's a nice little, I don't know how many ounces this is, bottle.
16, maybe?
Probably 16. Oh, yeah, 1 pint. Well, 1 pint, 9 ounces.
Oh, okay.
500
milliliters?
Oh, so
it's a half liter. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, 16.9.
16.9. And my top?
Oh, my top!
Yay, he said it! Oops. And the pour? This is a jet black beverage with some chocolate highlights. It has a dark khaki-colored head with a bunch of tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles and dark khakis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the aroma on this smells like coffee and spices.
Oh, yes.
Like, this smells like pumpkin spice coffee.
Amazing.
Oh, nice.
I'm excited.
I give Katie like a huge pour. So if you...
Oh, no, we're
thank you.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that like coffee roasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like
mm-hmm.
like a pumpkin chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I dig it. The sip.
Mmm.
Delicious.
Oh, wow.
That tastes like chocolate pumpkin, chocolate chip pumpkin coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
My favorite thing.
Yeah, it's a little drier than I was kind of expecting with the lactose, yeah, but still got mm-hmm. the sweetness, little chocolate notes.
It's surprisingly wow. dry and low ABV for a milk stout.
Yeah, usually they...
If it fully ferments, it's
usually between 5 and 7, so it's on the low end, but...
If they're sweeter, they're lower. If they're less... If when they're dry, they're usually higher.
Mm.
But whatever, this is a beautiful, well-balanced beer. I could drink a lot of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
It's Red Rock Brewing in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Woo! Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Do you have any fun facts? Super fun facts, because they're fun facts.
I do, but only if you sing it like Mia Farrow.
Fun facts, they're super fun facts, because they're fun facts.
Fun facts, super. super fun facts.
Fun facts now that I'm a woman. I like my fun facts.
All right, Rotten Tomatoes. Katie, what do you think the critics thought of The Last Unicorn? Like, out of 100%, how many do you think thought it was a good movie?
Maybe 85%.
85, babe.
Oh, I'm torn, because I want it to be really high, but also I know the critics don't know their ass from a hole in the ground.
True, good point.
But I'm going to decide I love this movie. I'm going to say 90%.
73% with the critics, but...
That is actually, like, supremely higher than, like, my heart thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Certified fresh. But nobody gives a fuck about the critics. Nah, what about that audience?
Those critics!
What about that audience?
Katie, what do you think the audience scored at? Higher or lower than 72?
73.
73.
I think the audience rated it higher.
Like
maybe 90?
90, babe.
I'm going to take your other guess, 85.
86% with the audience.
Oh, so close.
Certified fresh, guys. It's on Peacock and Tubi.
Woo!
$3.5 million budget. Worldwide gross, 6.5. So, meh. Didn't really make any money. I'm sure, you know, plenty of VHS sales.
It was the VHS sales, yeah. As far as I can tell.
But yeah, nobody saw it in theaters, apparently. Or, you know, just enough to...
Yeah. Get it to VHS. It.
Yeah. Sir Christopher Lee, who voiced Haggard, showed up for the recording sessions armed with his own copy of the book, with several places marked to indicate things that must not, in his opinion, be omitted.
Excellent. Nice.
This is similar to his behavior on The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, and its sequels in 2001.
Yes!
He showed up with his own copy.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes. I love Christopher Lee.
Yeah, Christopher Lee, the more I find out about him, the more I'm like, somebody's going to make a fucking movie about him as soon as he dies, right? Oh, wait, he's dead?
Like, here's the
he's like the coolest motherfucker ever.
The more I find out about Christopher Lee, the more I'm like, why do I not know more about Christopher Lee? Yeah. Why does nobody know about Christopher Lee?
Why is the man holding him back? I agree.
Yeah.
When
is a white British man going to get a fair shot?
Another fun fact, Sir Christopher Lee also provided King Hagger's voice in the German version of the movie. Gee, why would he know German, babe?
Why would he know German, Steve?
Because he knows what Nazi blood tastes like. Yeah, he's a fucking war hero, guys. He speaks...
Yeah! He speaks 17 languages badly.
And at least two pretty damn good. Having worked together on this movie, Sir Christopher Lee also became godfather to associate producer Michael Chase Walker's son, Joshua Devin Walker, a prominent movie producer in L.A. now.
Oh, shit!
There you go.
I'm not gonna lie, that would be hella badass. Somebody's just like, yeah, my godfather is Christopher Lee.
Yeah, that Christopher Lee, too.
Right?
Yeah.
The other people considered for the voice of King Haggard were John Vernon. Any kids know him?
He's the
dean from Animal House.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Killer Clowns in Outer Space. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the cop, the damn wackos. James Earl Jones.
Of course.
Let's see, 82, he might have been busy doing Return of the Jedi. And John Carradine.
Oh!
Gee, what would he have been doing around the same time with a one-eyed cat? Oh, that's right, he's the voice of the Great Owl in The Secret of Nim. Oh, yeah, I told you about the Jeff Bridges showing up out of the blue and volunteering to do the movie for free. Other people considered for the voice of Schmendrick were... apparently, Dustin Hoffman, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill.
Shit, yeah.
I can see, yeah, I can totally see Mark Hamill doing Schmendrick and,
I could see that.
Yeah, the other two, I don't know. Due to contractual disputes, author Peter S. Beagle received no compensation for the sale of any of the original DVDs or VHSs. 25th anniversary edition of the movie was released by Lionsgate in 2007. That's the one you have, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thought so. Yeah, so, guys, Peter S. Beagle, buy his shit.
Yes, and he's written more books than this. Although he will admittedly say that, like, this is the best one, in his opinion.
There you go. But, Katie.
Yeah?
Izzy.
What?
What did we learn from The Last Unicorn?
I learned not to run away from anything immortal.
There you go. Babe?
I learned... now that I'm a woman.
true.
Tell me that's not a spot on performance.
Fantastic. I learned there's no happy endings because nothing ends.
Steve would be Schmendrick.
I also learned we are sisters, you and I.
I lied. Steve would be the harpy.
And all butterflies know are songs and poetry, things they've heard.
All butterflies are high and crazy.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I understand you also have a social media presence of some sort?
I do. So I'm an artist, and you can find my work at Katie_Crumpton on both Instagram and TikTok, as well as on Facebook at Art of Katie Crumpton.
Excellent. Babe, are you on social media at all?
Nope. Can't be found. Wait! I lied! I'm everywhere at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias under Untidy Venus. You can also find my goods and wares for sale over at untidyvenus.etsy.com and join my Patreon, Untidy Venus at Patreon. Steve?
Yes.
Where can we find you?
Everywhere! Now we're on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. And for those people who were confused, when Izzy couldn't remember her social media, she then turned back to a unicorn and she remembered everything. No, not on the carpet! No.
Steve, I'm full of regrets! I feel sorrow and regret now!
I must return to the forest! but yeah, Everything I Learned from Movies, or hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at EILF Movies. That's
Everything I Learned from Movies.
So yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And I'm Katie.
And this is
Everything I Learned from Movies.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody! It was actually a giant harpy.
When the last eagle flies over the last crumbling mountain, and the last lion roars at the last dusty fountain, in the shadow of the forest, though she may be old and worn, they will stand.